Hello, and welcome to Autistically Unapologetic, the unfiltered and unmasked podcast about everything autism. Here's your host, Devin Morrissey.
Hi, and welcome to Autistically Unapologetic with me, Devin Morrissey. I would like to officially welcome you all to episode 24, where today I will be discussing being autistic and embracing your special interests. Now, special interests are extremely vital in the autism community as they showcase the knowledge and the passion that are common in people on the autism spectrum. Special interests provide a sense of purpose and enjoyment in addition to the development of social connections with others who share similar interests. Now, my next guest is a wonderful example of how his special interests in colors and in animals, specifically lions, play a pivotal role in who he is. Many of you will recognize him as a cast member on the 5-time Emmy Award-winning docuseries, Love on the Spectrum, and he and his sister are here today to also share their time on the show and give a sneak peek of what's to come. Please welcome to Autistically Unapologetic, David Isaacman.
Hello. Oh, hi.
Why, hi, you guys. How are you guys?
Oh, we're so good.
I gotta tell you, too, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedules to come on this podcast. I know this month and these past few years have been unbelievably busy for you guys, as I know you guys already imagine with the success of season 3 now dropping out. You guys have been on a whirlwind of all of these interviews, all of these amazing opportunities that have come your way. So I'm so excited that you guys have finally made it to this podcast. It's been a while in the making, but we're finally here now. So if you guys are ready, we'll just hop right into it.
We are ready. Yes. Thank you for inviting us.
Of course. It's absolutely my pleasure. So with this podcast, I usually like to start at the very beginning of one's journey in life. And so I guess the best place to start is, when were you, David, first diagnosed autistic? When did you find out that you were autistic? And what was your reaction to it all?
I was diagnosed since I was 2 years old, and I was too young to remember.
What's interesting, like, my mom told me the story of David's diagnosis. And so because they had all three of us at once, they could tell pretty early on, mm-hmm. because Aubrey and I were starting to talk and babble, but they noticed, oh, wait a minute, little David here isn't saying anything. And this, so that's what, little David was not saying anything. So that's when they took David to the doctor. The doctor said, you might want to get him assessed for autism. And back then, you know, autism, it wasn't really a diagnosis many people wanted at that time. It was just a totally different time. But he got diagnosed with autism.
Yep, that's true.
And then, you know, thanks to all the therapies, he began talking and everything made kind of more sense.
Exactly. I think the one thing I have learned from the therapies, and I think, David, you'll agree with me on this, once we go through those therapies and we start talking, there's no going back. I'm just actually curious to know, tell me a little bit about your childhood growing up autistic, David. What was that like for you?
Living in Westwood, the neighborhood has a lot of trees and it was pretty in the fall. I have lots of friends. I went to public schools.
Really?
Yes. And when I first saw the white Persian cat named Oliver, he looks a lot like a lion.
Okay, so that's where it all began, with this obsession with lions, was from a cat named Oliver. I love that.
I don't know if you've seen, like, a Persian cat. They kind of have, like, a mane. Like, they look like a lion, like a little lion.
Yes, he's the goofiest lion of them all.
Oh, my goodness. Do they have them wandering around Westwood?
You know, like, he was there before we were even there. So my parents just, it was the family, it was like the pet cat, and
Oh my goodness, how funny is that? My word. One fun fact, though, that I actually got to learn about you from not just the show, but also being friends with you guys outside of the show in real life, is that you guys are triplets. I gotta ask you, what is it like being a triplet to your siblings, David? And Allie, what has David taught you from being your brother?
David, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
It's like having two sisters who are the same age as me.
Yeah. What I always like to say is like it's like having built-in friends and it's never boring.
Yeah, it's like having built-in friends and not so boring at all.
Right? I didn't think it was ever boring. I mean, David, both siblings have actually like taught me a lot. That's the thing about it. It's like all we'll never know what it's like to not be triplets. So like
Yes.
it's hard to really like describe just like how we don't know what it's like to not be a triplet. Like it's vice versa. But I don't know. David's taught me a lot about being patient, right?
Right.
And about being open-minded and accepting. And always just thinking about the needs of others too.
Yes.
Just trying to make the environment really like accessible for everybody and inclusive. Because yeah, treat others the way you want to be treated, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I've learned a lot from both siblings. I've learned many different things. Just being a triplet and, you know, having an autistic sibling. You've taught me how to be really patient, how to kind of like, also, my initial instinct is to want to help and do things, but I noticed the more I did that, the less I was giving David the opportunity to grow and learn on his own. And so when we left our parents, that was kind of like, so David and I are roommates. So that
Yes.
was kind of a transition. And at first, like, I was making all of his meals and stuff. And then I took a second and I said, wait a second. I'm assuming that you can't do it because you're asking me to make your food, but
Yeah.
why can't you? So seeing you grow, like having me just push you a little and you became so independent, now you're like a full-on chef. You're
Oh, he's killing
you
it.
yeah, so like stepping back a little is actually sometimes the best way for growth to happen. Yeah, just learned also to be inclusive, to not just judge a book by its cover, you know. If there's someone in the corner of a room, I'll kind of make an effort. I've noticed after, you know, of course, growing up with David, I'll make an effort to like check in on that person
Yeah.
and see, do they just not want interaction? Because that's fine, or is there something we can do to make them more comfortable? So I've noticed those tendencies. Yeah, but it's always a great experience, right, David?
Right. Absolutely. I know for my own personal experience, my sister is literally the same age as you guys. She's a 95 baby. And I've always wondered what it is like, being on the other side, because obviously we don't always know what the siblings must feel that don't live on the spectrum. So obviously being able to be around the cast and really kind of getting their own perspectives has just been like, whoa. Because obviously we don't always fully understand. Like, yeah, we go through all these therapies growing up. There's a lot of sacrifices that are made. But it's almost, we're just like, we wonder how our siblings feel about this, because sometimes we don't always know, but one thing that you say, Ali, is so accurate that there's a lot of patience that comes involved. There's a pushing a little bit. And I think what you guys are doing right now has been incredible. And so this episode actually kind of revolves around some special interests. And I'm actually kind of here curious to hear from you, David, about synesthesia. Abby has told me a little bit about that you are the biggest expert at synesthesia, which is the terms of all colors being associated with different numbers. What got you into this phenomena of synesthesia? And could you maybe teach us a little bit of how synesthesia works right here on this podcast? Well, sis, by seeing numbers as colors, here's what I thought. Number one is gold. Number two is red. Number three is yellow. Number four is blue. Number five is green. Number six is purple. Number seven is white. Number eight is brown. Number nine is pink. And number 10 is gray.
And can you explain a little bit, like when you see, is it like you see two objects? Do you see a color? Or is it like, does it have to be the number two written out and then you see a color?
I imagine thinking numbers as colors.
Yeah, like it just pops in your head.
Yes.
Like if you saw, so like what year did The Lion King come out?
Gold, pink, blue, 1994.
Whoa.
Like,
Wow.
it helps with your memory, right?
Right.
Like he has a bet you can list, you know, like, why don't you like, do you know a Disney movie? Like you want to list it and have
Oh,
him tell you
gosh.
every year?
Okay, since you guys just came to a showcase that me and Ab were in, I'm just gonna throw this out.
1995, your guys' birth year, and also the same year that the Goofy movie came out.
And Pocahontas and Toy Story came out the year Gold, Pink, Pink,
Yes.
Green. After
Okay.
all, we are in the mid-90s.
So Gold, Pink, Pink, Green is 1995. So now we know. We're Gold, Pink, Pink, Green babies. Yeah.
Wow.
We are the mid-90s.
Wait, I gotta ask, what about 1993? That was the year that I was
Gold,
born.
Pink, Pink, Yellow.
Gold, pink, yellow.
The
Wow.
year Nightmare Before Christmas, Hocus Pocus, and Jurassic Park came out.
Jesus, you are like the encyclopedia of colors and movies. I wish I had your talents, David. I'm just gonna say that right now. But it's so funny just because I heard about this phenomenon. I never really understood it. But now hearing this, I'm just like, whoa. So five is green. And
Yes.
what is, remind me, what is blue again?
Four.
Four. Okay. Four and five. Four and five. Okay. I need to remember that now moving forward so that I don't forget. And then pink is nine. Is that
Nine.
correct?
Yes.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Okay, the reason why I know this is because my girlfriend, her favorite color is pink, as we all know. Shout out to my baby for her color in pink. She
Yeah,
says hello
just
to
like
you
my
both, by the
girlfriend's favorite
way.
color. Pink color is my girlfriend's favorite color.
Oh, wait, so my girlfriend and your girlfriend's favorite colors are pink as well?
Yes.
Well, how about that? There you go. There you go. It was meant to be. And that's how you know. Nine is probably one of the greatest colors. Well, what's your favorite color though, David? And what's the number for that again?
Well, number two, red.
Oh, right, red, red. And then with your shirt that you have on right now, what would you call that? Like white.
Rainbow sail shirt.
Oh yeah. Wait, what color? Or sorry, what number is rainbow?
There's 11, 3, 5, 4, 6, 2, 11, yellow, 5, 4, and 6.
But David, you were telling me like sometimes you see when you see number, you see rainbow. Do you remember what?
Yeah, number two at the top, and underneath is number 11, and at the middle are number three, and then number five, and below there's number four, and at the bottom is six.
So that's for the number, like, is that 100?
Yes.
Yeah, so when he sees number 100, he'll see rainbow.
Whoa.
Pretty cool.
Am now hoping that it's somehow it rains sometime soon so I could just say, hey, there's a 100 right over there in the sky
I
somewhere with the clouds.
know. Yeah.
Well, that is absolutely amazing. That is so awesome. I gotta say, it is so mind-boggling just because I never really understood what it was. And I've heard all about it through your girlfriend. And so now hearing about this through you is just like, wow, I need to start the numbers up now myself just to see what color could come out. It's amazing. It's so there's nine is pink, one is gold. Three is yellow. We got five, which is blue. No, wait, green. We got four, that's blue. Oh my goodness, it's a lot. I could only imagine the year 2000 and what colors that would be.
Two part is red, and zero parts are black.
Whoa, I like that. I like that. So I actually kind of now want to try to pivot the conversation into a show that all three of us were very, 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 very blessed and fortunate to be a part of. So for those of you that do not know what we're talking about, or obviously if you've been living under a rock, Love on the Spectrum is a reality TV show surrounding the lives of autistic individuals as they encounter love, dating, relationships, you name it. After two successful seasons in Australia and a massive audience reaction around the world, Netflix and Northern Pictures decided to bring Love on the Spectrum to the United States. And as we all know, David, you were one of the first cast members to help launch the US version of the show for the first two seasons. How were you approached to be on Love on the Spectrum coming from another cast member? Because I'm dying to know.
That was a miracle project. Yeah,
Wait, through
so.
the same Miracle Project through Elaine Hall?
Yes.
Yes. It's so funny because David, he's been a part of it. So if people don't know what it is, it's actually a really great resource. It's a musical theater program for neurodiverse adults, and they have a
Yes.
whole classes, even for those who use devices and who are nonverbal but use devices to speak. They have a class for a whole bunch, a whole range of people. It's really great. And David was always very vocal about wanting a girlfriend. Like you would, I remember since we were like 12 years old, David's always been like, "I want a girlfriend. I want a girlfriend."
Oh.
So yeah, so Kian, when he was coming to the US, one of the things he would do, he really tries his best to get a whole range of people. So he kind
Yes.
of reaches out to every program that he
He
can think
does.
know or like find out about. And so he reached out to Elaine at the Miracle Project and was like, "Hey, do you know anyone that wants a girlfriend?" And she's like, "I've got the guy for you." And then I remember we sat in on an interview, didn't know what it was, but they asked a million questions, and then that eventually led to him coming on to Love on the Spectrum.
Gosh, and literally the rest is history after that. It is
Yeah.
so funny because I think at the time when production was just starting, and I think we can speak for the three of us, no one had any idea of just how big the show was about to become. Because if people do not remember, we literally shot this right after things were starting to open up back here in Los Angeles. We were still having a COVID test just to even be on camera. The crew was completely covered up in masks and social distancing and all that. But it's interesting when you look back now to 4 years ago when production was just starting and now seeing this massive audience reaction to where everyone is talking about it. You got Kelly Clarkson talking about Love on the Spectrum. You got Jack Black talking about Love on the Spectrum. You got Bradley Cooper talking about it, Carey Mulligan talking about it. I mean, it's become this cultural phenomenon. Obviously, I know that you wanted to find someone, obviously, with Elaine's help and through Love on the Spectrum. And you actually ended up finding the most wonderful woman by the name of Abby. Now, you and Abby are about to celebrate 4 years together, which is absolutely fantastic. Welcome to the 4-year club. How has Abby changed your life, David?
She makes me a lot happier. We explore new places together, and we even get to go to Africa together. She makes me a better man, and I can't wait to go back to Africa sometimes. I've been to Botswana and Zimbabwe during Christmas vacation of 2015, and instead of the Christmas lights, and I went to Masai Mara for a Halloween vacation of 2022.
Whoa. That's amazing. And Allie, I gotta ask you the same thing. How has Abby made David into a better person?
Oh my gosh. Well, she's really become a part of David's routine. I mean, like every single morning, David will text her, "Good morning, Abby." And just he before, I mean, we all kind of do this before we enter a relationship. We're more into ourselves. David's really, he's always been so giving and so loving, but like Abby's really helped him grow and think about them collectively, like things they want to do together, different adventures they're going to go on together. And I think David's become good at like becoming very grounding for her, like if anything, and her, I mean, vice versa. Like if Abby sees David start to get upset or vice versa, they'll really be there for each other. And it's so beautiful. It's really beautiful to watch.
It really honestly is. And David is, I think, one of the most supportive boyfriends that I have ever seen. In fact, there was, we, Abby and I belonged to a theater group, and David and you and all of our friends from Love on a Spectrum came to watch. And there was a pivotal moment in that show where we sang Eye of the Tiger because we were doing a movie musical theme and we were opening up with that show. And I looked to the corner of my eye and I see it is so adorable. David is literally boxing with bam, bam, bam. And I'm just like, wait, that is perfect. That
Talk
is,
to that
oh gosh.
performance. The Tiger song is like the song that where people where they it's about the battle song.
Yes. And I literally looked and I'm like, I need to step up to David's game right now because he is raising the bar for all of us. And speaking of Africa, I know that you guys really bonded that first season in, getting to, bond more about animals and specifically the lions and the lionesses. In season two, the world got to catch up with you two on the most romantic full circle trip to Africa to see the lions and the lionesses. I know how much this trip has meant to you both, and obviously to your families as well. Were there any particular memories from that trip that you remember the most? And I can imagine that there was a lot.
Yeah, especially going on safari. Plus, I bet I get to think how you feel the love tonight while watching The View.
I watching that in real life, like in the back, like behind the cameras, I an absolute sobbing mess because the whole gravity of the full circle moment, like I remember, like I had flashbacks to the first date when David was like, "Hey, want to come to Africa with me?" And just seeing them in this place that's so symbolic because where we went actually is supposedly where the Lion King is based off of, Maasai Mara.
Wait,
So
what?
it was so like chilling and just, oh my God, just seeing the two of them so in love. In this place they talked about on their first date, there's no feeling. Like, there's no feeling like it. I was crying my eyes out because it was so beautiful.
Oh my goodness. And especially the fact that you guys went to the exact spot where the Lion King was based off of. I literally just got goosebumps right now, just even realizing that.
No, it's amazing. They
I
did
never
great.
get tired of the Lion King at all.
Yeah.
You really, really, really can't. I mean, it's one of the most breathtaking cinematic pieces of our time. And we're so lucky to have grown up with that movie. Just for any of you, anyone out there that has never seen The Lion King, you need to do yourself a favor and go see it now. Whether it's the live action one or the classic animated one with James Earl Jones and Matthew Broderick and Whoopi Goldberg, you need to see it. You are missing out on one of the greatest cinematic pieces on the planet. It's not even funny. So obviously, as we were talking about earlier, the third season of Love on the Spectrum was just released, and the world is once again catching up with you two and your families this time. What can you tell us about the third season of the show, and what should audiences around the world expect from you and Abby this season?
Abby wrote me a beautiful song that I felt from the bottom of my heart.
The most beautiful song that has now literally taken on a mind of its own. I gotta ask you though, how did you guys feel when Abby sang that to you? Because obviously, I can only imagine what was going through your head at that time when the cameras were rolling.
Yeah, how did that feel, David?
Feel
I
good.
remember seeing your gasp, like when they caught your, you went like that.
Yes.
Why did you gasp like that? Yeah,
For what?
when you listen to her song,
Ooh.
yeah, you gasped like that. Because what were you feeling? Like, what was your feeling?
That was beautiful, Abby.
Oh, yeah, I was just like, oh my gosh, Abby, it made such a beautiful, beautiful tribute. I just couldn't believe how. Like it was really such an ode to their relationship from like beginning to where
Yes.
they are now, like all the times they've supported each other.
When I first heard that song, because I will be honest, I have not watched season three yet. Life has been so incredibly busy, but I know about the song and how beautifully it is written and just how wonderful it is just to see also just how much that meant to you and your guys' relationship is so beautiful. And it really is also a full circle moment too, just seeing where you guys have come from literally the very beginning to now literally solidifying 4 beautiful years together. And I mean, hey, music is one of the best universal languages of love. And now getting to watch your girlfriend literally sing that to you in so many places from the Greek theaters all the way to New York City, I bet you must just be so tickled by just how people are so receptive to this love song that's about you, literally.
Right.
Oh.
I love it. So, all 3 seasons of Love on the Spectrum premiere to this massive audience reaction, which I don't think any of us could have honestly ever predicted, and was in the top 10 most watched Netflix television shows for several weeks around the world. Now, I gotta ask you guys, what was your reaction to the success of this US version of Love on the Spectrum?
I can't believe it. Love on the Spectrum is on the top 10 of Netflix shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For
It's
several weeks. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the same reaction. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just wow. Amazing.
I know. It really is wild. And it was funny because we actually met literally maybe just a few months after the show premiered. We were at, I'm trying to remember what it was, but we were in some really nice hotel rooftop. It was. And that's actually how I first met you guys and Abby in person. And people knew who you guys were just from the success of that show. In fact, you know, I think a lot of people may not know this, but Abby did this Christmas movie with one of the Spy Kids years ago, and apparently she and her husband watched the show as well. How does it feel for you, David, to have Carmen Cortez herself actually watch you on Netflix?
Amazing.
You know, just for all of us that were on Love on a Spectrum, whether a main cast member like yourself, David, or supporting cast members like you and I, Ali, there's no denying that this show has changed all of our lives in so many ways. How has Love on the Spectrum changed your life? And how has this show affected you personally?
I've met lots of new friends and experienced lots of new things. People always come up to me and say hi to me, and it means a lot to me.
They most definitely do. And Allie?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say just, it's funny because, I don't know, before the show, people weren't as, there were like a mix of friendly and not friendly people, but just the outpouring of love, and like you hear, like, what was eye-opening to me is how many people come up to like David or come up to Abby and David, yes, or to even me, and they're just so touched and how many people have a connection with autism, like like their sibling or their like parent or kid, or it's just so amazing. And it's created such a community, like, yes, and it's such a wholesome fan base. I mean, it's really just seeing how it's connected people in such a beautiful way is like, oh my gosh, yeah, it always makes me emotional, you know?
It really does. The fan base for Love on the Spectrum is, I don't even know how to say it. It's a mind of their own. But one thing that has been so inspiring to look at, especially just like thinking about it, reflecting on it, like I think David said it best, is the friendships that we've all made. I was only on the show for 2 seasons, for maybe 2, 3, 4 episodes. But just to be welcomed into this, obviously in this community by you guys, has just been like, whoa. And actually getting to hang out with you guys outside of the show, I can't even tell you how many karaoke nights we've had where David just gets up and sings, I Just Can't Wait to Be King. Or you got Abby singing Part of Your World, or Sabota and I doing Hit Me With Your Best Shot. They are the most fun stuff. Like, it's the stuff you guys don't get to see on the show that really makes you bond as a family. It's also not just here in LA, but all across the country as well. You know, I mean, we've had a lot of the cast members come out to hang out with us. I mean, last year we had Connor and his family come out from Georgia, the sweetest people on the planet. We had James come out for a massive, you know, Tour de France of LA. That was awesome. You know, so it's the friendships that I think, David, that you mentioned that are so special and so important. And on a personal note, I love being your friend and really getting the chance to hang out with you in every way that we can. And I thought, if you guys missed it, David can sing one great Eye of the Tiger. So you guys got to hear him sing that, because he is literally Rocky Balboa in the flesh.
I heard you knocked it out of the park with that performance.
Thank you.
Oh, and then I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
Oh,
yeah. Definitely got to hear him singing that.
Yeah, in my version, I would say, of course, I love crocodiles and rhinoceroses. I also love hippopotamuses.
Hey!
Crocodiles and the rhinos.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. So you want the hippopotamus, you want the crocodile, and you also want the rhinoceros.
Yes.
Definitely got to make room. Definitely got to get a bigger room for all of those animals. It's
not easy. Yeah, I get to build. I'm going to have to build the world's biggest zoo on Earth.
You know what? I believe it.
Come with the aquarium this time.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. No. Oh, and the aquariums are also so much fun, except you look at some of those fish and you're just like, wow, they're actually a lot smaller in real life. Or you're like, oh, they're bigger. Like, they could actually eat me if they want to. Well, my next question for you, David, is what does the future look like for you and Abby? And is there a possibility that we could hear possibly any wedding bells in the future?
I mean, I don't know when, but I do know a perfect location to get married.
Ooh, where?
The San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Wait, that is perfect. That is so up your guys' alley. The Safari Park is brilliant. Have you guys ever been to the San Diego Zoo?
Yeah, well, yes, but I haven't because it's been a while.
But you have gone. You
I
got a
have gone, and
franchise.
I got my own membership pass ever since Halloween of tw 5 years ago.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. That's absolutely fantastic.
And I get to go trick-or-treating all over the exhibits.
Ooh, cool.
Wait, you get to do that? Go trick-or-treating all over the exhibits?
At the zoo, yes.
Oh, wow. Where have I been? My goodness, that sounds like a great Halloween to me. So, do the
That's
animals actually hand out the candy, or is it just the regular human people that do it?
right. Only the regular human people that do it.
Oh,
But
dang.
imagine if there are animals that's giving me some candy.
Well, I mean, they give you candy. I know for a fact that they would give you candy, but I just feel like they would either probably just eat the candy themselves, or they would just start throwing it at the rest of the humans, being like, this is what you get for putting us behind these cages for so long. And animals like this for us, indeed. So, my last question to you, David, is this. You have been an inspiration to so many people, and you really have helped open everyone's eyes up to what life can be like for other people. What would you like to say to all the people out there that are looking for love and or looking to find happiness and acceptance within themselves?
Like what I said, in order to find love, you must have confidence, gather your courage, and care for others by giving them a gift to remember you by, and always be yourself.
That's right. And Allie?
Oh gosh, I really don't know if I can give better advice than that. Just also maybe like do, yeah, like David said, have confidence. Don't be afraid to step outside your comfort zone and at least try, because you never know what's waiting for you out there.
I think what people really take away from David's journey through his time on the show and now becoming this really huge impact on autism is that everyone's journey to love is completely different. No one has the exact same journey. We all go through our own journeys in order to find that happiness at the end of the rainbow. What David, you have done is really open up eyes to just being so authentic. And something that I like to say is being in the moment. You embrace every single thing that is thrown your way. I mean, even when you're in Africa, when you came back and you told me all about the animals that you saw. The water hole, the lions, the lionesses. It was just that exciting moment of just being happy is the key and being able to see everything in that moment, but also appreciating those moments that a lot of people don't really get to see. Like, for instance, that beautiful song that Abby wrote for you, or you guys singing, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? With the beautiful backdrop of Africa behind you. It's those special moments that really milk it all. And even just like embracing the special interests that you have, I think that's super important. So the fact that your special interests with lions or with colors, I mean, I'm gonna be knowing now 5 and 4 being associated with blue and pink for the rest of my life. And
You mean green and
oh my
pink?
gosh, no way, green and blue. I get those so confused. Thank you for calling me
Number
out on that,
five is
David.
green.
Yes, it's the special interests that you have. It makes you you, and it makes you a special person in society. And I just got to say, on a personal note, I couldn't be more happier to call you a friend on screen and off personally, because it's the friendships as we get older, we value and we treasure those. And even just the relationships that you're in right now with Abby and I'm in with my own girlfriend, we just embrace it all. And I think that it's something, as we get older, when we really try to appreciate more about what we have in this moment right here and right now versus what we want right here and right now. And I think you guys are prime examples for that. My thanks to David Isaacman and his wonderful sister, Allie, for their wonderful input. Please come back to this podcast anytime you guys like. It has been truly a joy to have you guys on here. And I really thoroughly enjoyed this conversation with you both. If you like what you heard on this episode and want to hear other episodes or stay tuned for future ones, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to this podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm Devin Morrissey, and I'll see you next time right here on Autistically Unapologetic.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Autistically Unapologetic with Devin Morrissey. If you like what you hear and you want to see more, don't forget to rate and subscribe to stay tuned for future episodes. Again, thanks for listening.